Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word comes to us in Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter, the 13th verse. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." This week I had my first round of doctors that I go through about every 3 months, getting my checkups. And I have to say, it was not a good experience. My doctor was not pleased with me. See, I haven't exactly been following my diet. Some of you noticed. I haven't been exercising like I should. I haven't been sticking to the health plan. My sugar is way up. Blood pressure is up. Cholesterol is up. None of these are good. I need to start taking better care of myself. My doctor warned me. So the doctor gave me a new copy of the health plan and the diet he wants me to follow. And I have to eat a diet that is, first of all, high in fiber. Second, it has to be low in salt or as salt-free as I can possibly make it. It has to be low in carbohydrates and sugar, as sugar-free as I can make it. And finally, it needs to be, for my cholesterol, fat-free, or as fat-free as I can possibly make it. Now, if you're wondering what a diet like that looks like, it looks like hard work. If you are wondering what a diet like that tastes like, it tastes just like hard work. Of all the privations my diet brings upon me for the sake of my health, perhaps the one I miss the most is the salt. Yeah, there are other spices and there are other herbs used, but there I found nothing that really takes the place of salt. Without salt, food is bland. It is tasteless. And one of the snacks I'm supposed to eat is saltless popcorn. It doesn't even have a taste. The tastes of my favorite food are weakened or even absent. Meals become something I do to survive and not something that I necessarily enjoy eating. I can only hope that one day they will find that salt really is very good for you and you can eat as much as you want. Jesus talks in our gospel about salt. Salt was very important during ancient times, perhaps even more so than it is today. Salt, at times, was so important that it was used as a monetary exchange. There were times when Roman soldiers were paid in bags of salt. Wanted to stock up on food to get you through a lean time, perhaps a winter or something like that, there were no refrigerators to go to. There were no canned foods that you could put on your shelf. To preserve meat and other things like that, you had to salt it. And if you didn't salt the fish and the beef and the veal and the mutton and different things like that, it would simply rot. It was also important as medicine. It was thought that if you sprinkle salt in a wound, it would help with the bleeding. Of course, you know what that feels like too, don't you? It was thought that, or it is true, that salt also helps stave off dehydration in very hot and dry climates because it stimulates you to continually drink. But of course, as today, it was also seasoned. You see, spices back then were considered very exotic and very expensive things. Spices, or in Israel at Jesus' time, salt was a little more readily available. After all, they had to get sand. Harvesting salt there was fairly easy. There's also in the Mediterranean where you could, through a laborious process, dry seawater and get some salt out of that too. It was one of the few things that you could add to your beans, which is usually what you make every day, or the cheese that you made, to give it flavor, to have it taste good. You could put it in bread and fish and lamb in your stews, and it gave it more savor. It was a pleasure to eat, not a chore to eat. Things just taste better with the salt in them. And when you leave the salt out, just as then, people notice that you were cooking for royalty. Woe betide you for leaving the salt out of the dish. You just didn't do that. Keep your head. Jesus says that his disciples, you and I, are to be the salt of the earth. We use that today to refer to people who are honest, people who are the backbone of the nation, the salt of the earth, the trustworthy, the hard workers, the things like that. I think Jesus had something else in mind. Jesus says that we are to be the salt of the earth, and he gives a very dire warning not to lose our saltiness. You see, the lives of the disciples, our lives, taste better. They taste different because we are God's children. God has brought his salt into our lives and changed them for the better, for the good. People, others around us, particularly those within our own house, the lamp analogy he was giving, light to everyone in the house, but salt to everyone in the house too. People should be able to taste the salt in us, the salt of God as well. And life should taste better because there are God's disciples, because there are disciples in the world, in the community, in the places where we work. We should make it taste better. We as the church can even change our whole world and our communities. A little bit better because we are here and we are God's. If you were to hand out a little survey, one that could be returned to you anonymously, that asked people to describe what kind of flavor you might be, what do you think it would say? Do you add a good flavor or a bad flavor to the lives of the people around you and your world? You have to remember that bitter is also a flavor that you can add. Is it bitter that people are tasting? You see, we have trouble thinking about ourselves as flavoring in our world and in the lives of people around us. We think more of how the world tastes to us, what flavor other people bring to us. We're used to people salting things and flavoring them so we like them, so things taste sweet to us. We take things that are bitter or overly sour and we throw them away. We don't want them. We are more concerned about how others taste to us than how we taste to them. Jesus warns the disciples not to lose their salt flavor, though. He doesn't say, everybody else is the salt of the earth to you. Everybody else is there to flavor your life. He says, you and me, his children, are the salt of the earth. We are to impart that good flavor. There is no use for tasteless salt. What would you do with tasteless salt? Well, I guess you could melt snow with it. That might be the only thing that's good to do. Tasteless salt, corrupted salt. See, what happens to us a lot of times is we look at life and we say, how can I live in more comfort? How can I live in better happiness? questions. How can I live more richly in our lives when God is asking us, how do you live more usefully to me? How do you live more usefully in your communities as my servant? See, God calls us his servants, not the other way around. The scripture invites us, you saw in an earlier reading today, to taste and see that the Lord is good. And you have tasted the Lord as his disciples. You know the savory flavor he brings, the sweetness he brings. You know the taste of forgiveness. You know the taste of absolution, where we come burdened by our sin and we lay them before the cross. God takes them away with his blood, his death, his resurrection. You know that we've been spared the bitterness of his suffering and death, because he swallowed that for us, so that we may know his grace. We have tasted the hope we have in his resurrection, the wonderful flavor that is there, that changes our life, that we live as people of hope, people with promise, people who know what it is to be loved. We know the savory flavor of our life as we experience daily his mercy and his compassion, all his undeserved love wrapped around us. Jesus has made us gods, and God dwells within us and changes our flavor to be like his, salty, good, and rich. The flavor of God in our life, though, is to come through to other people, to be merciful to them as we have received mercy. Go back and look at your Old Testament lesson. It talks about fasting there. What is real fasting? Just don't eat food? Is it something else? How others are treated around us, what happens in our world and in our land. The world should taste differently because of us, not for our sake, but for theirs. It should taste differently in love, because we have been loved and we give love. It should taste differently in compassion, where it is found, because we are people who have received compassion. And we know that flavor. Who are the people through whom God brought sanity in your life? Can you think of them? Who brought that saltiness, that savor, that sweetness, that wonderful taste of God's love and compassion and mercy to you? See, he does that through other believers. A parent, a grandparent, a teacher, a pastor, a stranger. Someone you don't know. Now imagine your life if all of that flavor was gone. Imagine your life if you never tasted that, or tasted that the Lord is good. What really would your life taste like? Would it be just tasteless? Would it be bitter and sour? Through you, God chooses and causes the world to taste differently, taste better in your own life and in the lives of others. So go out and season life. Season life for others around you. Season your world. Your salt matters. Your salt. Season other lives as God has brought his seasoning you in your life. It's delicious. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life which is everlasting.